Fig. It's the way to go. Eat a fig, not a pig. Let your kindness show. If it's your wig or a jig or a swig, do you dig? Fig. It's the way to go. It's Big Fat Vegan Radio.
When something's fat, there's a lot to show. It's gotta be fat to help the movement grow. Making fat a loud chant that won't be flat. It's fat. And here's our show. It's Big Fat Vegan Radio.
Got that vegan glow, like a drag queen, Colleen Patrick Goudreau. I'm a YouTube beacon, cooking up good eating. Veganism makes me glow. It's Big Fat Vegan Radio.
All right, vegans, all together now! When something's fat, there's a lot to show. Like it's gotta be fat to help the Patrick grow. Making fat loud chant that won't be flat. It's fat,
vegan is the way to go. It's Big Fat Vegan Radio.
Oh my god, hi! Welcome to Big Fat Vegan Radio! We are podcasting from East Coast to West Coast to discuss veganism in all its glory! I am Ben Strothman, otherwise known as Honey LeBronx, everyone's favorite vegan drag queen. Oh my god, get into it! Oh my god, I can't even. And I am here without Laura Yaz, vegan writer and entertainment know-it-all, because I am doing an interview today. Oh my god. I'm going to stop with that right now. You're welcome. You guys can check us out on the Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, I guess Periscope and Instagram. Don't lose faith in the Periscope. We're trying to figure out. We're gonna come back and be these big Periscopers or something. And also Blab, B-L-A-B. I guess there's a new app called Blab. I'm sure in a few days or weeks or years, I won't feel like my grandmother trying to get it to work. Right now, it's very new to me and very scary and very frustrating. But it's basically like Periscope, but you can like chat with multiple people. So look for us on Blab. We are Big Fat Vegans. You can probably also find us under Big Fat Vegan Radio. In hopes that Laura and I will be able to like have like live video chats with you guys where you can interact with us and stuff. So you can also follow along with our show notes at bigfatveganradio.com. And yeah, you may as well also just head right over to bitesizevegan.com because that is our guest today. I am interviewing Bitesize Vegan, a.k.a. Emily Moran Barwick, who is the Bitesize Vegan herself. She's got a whole, if you know anything about her, she's got a whole bunch of interesting stuff to talk about, lots of interesting views on things, and she is basically what she is like the encyclopedia of all things vegan. Any issues you want information on, any debates you want like settled, or just anything that you want to discuss with people, but you want to like get armed with information first and like have your talking points down and all the research to back it up, but also you want to know like how to talk about it in a way that communicates to people and actually reaches them. She is your one-stop shop for all of that. So I'm going to bring her on to talk more about who she is and what she does and where you can find her. So that's what's going to happen. Also, just a quick reminder before we start, I am still doing my fundraiser to bring back Honey the Bronx's Vegan Drag Queen Cooking Show. We're like at like 64% funded, so like we're getting there, but we got 2 weeks left today. So 2 weeks left until Valentine's Day, and then we're shutting her down. So head over to honeylebronx.com, that'll take you right to my fundraiser, and be sure to donate whatever you can. Even donate whatever you can't. Be like, but that's my mortgage payment. Trust me, I will put it to much better use than the bank will put it to. And also, be sure to just help spread the word and share my... There's like a video I have going around Facebook right now like wildfire. It's up to like 4,000 views right now. So I can't share it alone. So if you could like look at Honey in the Bronx's Facebook page and just share any videos that I have about my fundraiser. Pretty much there's one main one, but there's like two or three total. So thank you. Oh my God. Thank you so much. You didn't have to. You shouldn't have. No, you really should. You should really should have. So with that. With that said, I love ado, don't I? I love ado. I love ado, and I love further ado. And I love more ado. But let's put all of that aside for now, and welcome Emily Moran Barwick, bite-sized vegan, to Big Fat Vegan Radio. Emily from Bite Size Vegan, welcome to Big Fat Vegan Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'm so excited that the Big Fat Vegan Radio has the little Bite Size Vegan Radio and everything in between. So I just, like, I can't say recently discovered Bite Size Vegan. It was probably about, my evolution in finding the Bite Size Vegan was I found you about maybe a year or so ago. My friend Michael Heron introduced me to your podcast. And then I found that you were so perfect in referencing your content during arguments with non-vegans. And specifically, the first video that I found of yours was the about deer hunting. And it was like the most concise, like fully comprehensive argument. And over the summer, I had this blow-up fight with my dad, started with your video. My dad's not even a deer hunter, doesn't defend it, doesn't take part in it. But I was just kind of like making some arguments I learned in your video. And then I'm like, why don't I just play the video for him? And I played the video for my dad, and like, I won't even go into the story about how the fight started, but like, instead of even arguing your points, I'm just like, I'm just going to play Emily's videos for people.
Yeah, I actually get that a lot from people that they love to just send them or play them for their family because they don't really know exactly what to say. And I mean, when I started Bite Size Vegan, like my goal was to create approachable education for non-vegans. But what I found too is that it's also incredibly helpful for vegans because it helps them know how to talk about things or to literally just use it and play it for the people that they're trying to impart their knowledge to, because it's that way it's not on them. And a lot of times people who are close to us, family members and such, will listen to outside parties more readily than they will their own loved ones. At least I get that in my own family, so yeah. It's helpful in that way.
You and I have in common that we are both, unless something has changed, we're both the only vegans in our family. Is that right?
Oh yeah, no, I'm still rocking that out.
I love it.
Unfortunately.
You know, I was just watching that you put out videos on, is it Wednesdays and Saturdays?
No, it's Monday, Friday. Wednesday, and some Fridays.
Oh, so the video I was watching, it must be, so you're, that is that the new schedule? It's Monday, Wednesdays, and sometimes Fridays. Okay, so Fridays,
and
like,
way back in the day, there was at one point I tried to do Saturdays, and I think I did it once until I found out that that's like the lowest watched day on YouTube, and so then I did a video right after that, being like, yeah. Just kidding.
only putting out two or three videos a week, my God, that must be so super easy. That sounds like such a light schedule. What do you do with all that free time?
Oh my goodness, I have no free time. I mean, I think if I was just doing basic vlogs, like here's what I did today, then I could do daily videos. But the thing is, some of the videos, you know, take over 100 hours to produce, and I'm doing them. I'm literally always doing them up to the moment that they're being published. I'm not ever ahead because I can't get ahead, and so. With some of the videos that are more intensive, the highly educational ones, it's very often taking, you know, 50 to 100 or more hours, and that's sometimes over a period of, you know, 3 to 5 days. And so that alone takes a lot of time. And then on top of that, for each video, I create a blog post with resources and references. So if it's a really academic video, there's going to be, you know, thorough citations to everything that I state so that people can find the information. And then I'm also trying to manage, you know, multiple social media platforms and trying to make engaging posts. And I have over 1,000 emails I still have yet to read, and then like messages on every platform. And then I'm working right now on producing some e-courses that will kind of do more like in-depth education for people who want to do that. So there's a lot of things I'm doing, and I don't really have spare time, but because my work is my passion, I think it makes it a little bit easier to go overboard with it.
Where do you think you get your laziness from? Is it from like the B12 deficiency or?
I think it's that, and I think it's a lack of protein.
Yeah, it must be. It must be.
I'm comatose most of the time. I'm meat deficient, so.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Hey, look at this, right? Big Fat Vegan Radio, we are bringing serious issues to the light. You know, that's a perfect segue to my next question for you, but I wanted to start by just, like, a million years ago, when I was a kid, a friend of mine, she started, like, writing screenplays and, like, wanting to, like, film them with me, and one of the things she told me, mind you, we're both, like, 13 when she tells me this, and she's like, you know, for every minute of video that you watch, it takes 1 hour of editing, and I was just like, no, there is no way that's true. And then I started a cooking show, and I'm like, yep, that's about it, if you see it. So I'm watching all these videos of yours that are like 3 minutes or 5 minutes, and I just consume them like popcorn, but I'm like very mindful of, that was 3 hours of her life, that was 5 hours of her life.
Yeah.
Oh my God, a 10-minute video, that was 10 hours.
Yeah, well, and it's even more than that for some of them, like the, because I used to only be 5 minutes or less was my thing, like early on, like if you watch any of my early videos, I always say 5 minutes or less every time, and then it got to a point where my viewers were, you know, we don't want you to keep having to cut it short, because there were times I'd have to cut out, you know, important information, and so once I kind of dropped that, then it almost went a little bit to the extreme in some cases, but some of the videos, they just kind of weren't that. So I have a series called The History of Veganism that I'm still producing, and the first three episodes are each like 20 to 30 minutes long, and it's basically like, I mean, if you come to it not with the mindset of like a YouTube video, because like people need YouTube videos to be short, even though they'll stay on YouTube for like 10 hours watching short videos, but if you come to it more of the idea of like a television episode, because it's produced as such, so those are the ones that take, you know, 70, 100 hours to produce one video, because I'm you know, researching all of the history, and some of it's a little bit obscure as well, to kind of to find all of these things and bring them together. But it's also really fascinating to see how far back this stuff goes. Like, you know, as vegans, we get the lions, though, argument of like, well, lions eat meat. And I found that being argued, I think it was like 1,000 or more years ago, or maybe 2,000 years ago. I can't remember. It was in the Islamic Golden Age, around like the 900s. To early thousands.
Wait, they were debating, but lions eat meat thousands of years ago?
My like favorite historical vegan thus far is Abul Ala Omar Ari, and he was this blind Arab poet who was a raging vegan atheist, and like the most cantankerous person. I love him. I love his work, but he has really powerful words too. But he has this giant discourse with this other guy that he's writing back and forth. And one of the arguments that the guy brings back to Abul Ala Omar Ari is, oh, well, you know, other animals eat animals, so it's okay for us. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's lions, though, from like way back in the day. And then you find I have a video about Leonardo da Vinci. He's in my Renaissance video, but I did a spotlight video on him just specifically. And he's defending the plants, though, argument. And one of the things that he talks about is like someone came to him saying, like, well, plants have feelings. So it's kind of interesting to see how far back it goes, and it's also kind of depressing to see that we're answering the exact same objections for thousands of years.
You know, have you ever joined, have you ever had a Facebook fight before?
No, because I honestly, like, I just don't have the time.
Oh, I was being facetious. Okay, so I have had many a Facebook fight, but have you ever joined a Facebook fight late? And you're kind of like, oh, hang on, got to go back and read the original post and then, like, all the comments.
Yeah.
And, like, if you'll see them so all too often, like, you'll see the, especially when we take, like, the vegan, non-vegan argument, you'll see the vegan who's like, okay, but fact, footnotes, references. And then the person responding to that is just like, yeah, but bacon is, and it's like, these arguments that have persisted for centuries, for millenniums. Because people, like, they're just so selective in what they want to choose to respond to. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to wade through all your facts, and then I'm still going to say this anyway, because it's really all I'm hearing.
And I think it's also, it's really, I don't know if it's, like, somehow bred into our DNA, but it's fascinating that people from all different walks of life and all different parts of the world and all different generations come up with the exact same arguments to defend their consumption of animals. Mm-hmm. And it's, and like you can tell by the fervor with which they present them that they are, this is like brand new, like they feel like they have just thought of this. And like, this is the argument. This is the thing that's going to shut down veganism. And it's just kind of startling because it's like, you're not original. Like it's, I'm sorry, but it's not original.
It's every time I get to tell someone that it's always like the first time all over again.
Yeah. Like it's like, they're so like, and I can just see them behind their keyboard. Like, oh my God, I've thought of it. I have the thing. This is like gonna, you know, totally rock the world of veganism. Lions though, you know, and it's like, yeah. It's not new.
It's like, let's ask a lion. The lion thinks you're an idiot.
Yes. But they'll go, I've even had, like, every once in a while I will engage kind of long, like, on with someone. I had an Instagram conversation with someone who literally, within, like, a five-minute period, went through every single one of them. Like, you know, it started with, like, lions, though, and I responded to that thoughtfully. And then it came plants, though, and then I, you know, responded to that. And then it came, like, our ancestors, and then I responded. You know, it was like, oh, my gosh, you're, like, going through every single... Do you have, like, the Carnist bingo card with you? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, it was really suspicious when, during that argument, they just shouted out, bingo!
Yeah, I got it!
So you're on Instagram now.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube. I don't really know how to use some of them.
Why Tumblr? I don't get the Tumblr.
I don't know. I just thought that I was supposed to go on all the social media.
I'm going to start a new... Don't tell anyone about this, all right? I'm going to start a new website. And I'm just going to call it, like, I don't know. I'm just going to call it, like, Blur Blur. And then, like, I'm just going to have everyone be like, oh, you have to be on Blur Blur. And everyone will be on it. They won't know why they're on it. But they'll want to be the first. And they'll, like, oh, visit our Blur Blur page. And then, but one day I'll just reveal, like, haha, no one knows what it does, but you're all on it. And then I'll monetize it somehow.
I have a great, like, Twitter spinoff concept, but I don't think I can talk about it here. But,
So you're on all the social media platforms, yeah. But, like, I am mostly aware of you, like, of Bite Size Vegan, the YouTube channel, but there's now also the store, a whole comprehensive website, an ebook. Mm-hmm. Am I missing anything?
No, I mean, the website kind of came around the time that I started the videos, but originally it was just like a Weebly site because I had no idea what I was doing. I'm not a tech person, and I'm also not someone who would be on social media if it wasn't for activism because I have no affinity for it. I would prefer to be in the woods in a cabin. But I know that it's like the best way to reach people, so I force myself through through the pain of social media. But... So the website, though, then I finally got a WordPress, and now it's got a lot more resources, and I'm trying to always work on it. You know, it's hard with the video kind of taking priority. So the YouTube is my primary thing, and then with the website has kind of the house for that and other information. And then, you know, the other social media is there to just kind of reach people on different platforms, and I also do independent posts on those that aren't on video days and things, because it's easier to, like, you know, keep that active than do a whole nother video, you know, the next day. And then, like I said, like the newest thing coming out is going to be the e-courses, and that they'll have their own website.
So what kind of stuff are you, you know, usually a lot of your videos seem to be in a question and answer format. What is going to be different about the, like, and you have an e-book, so
I do.
Why the e-courses? What's going to be different about that?
Well, the e-book is a free e-book, and it is, you know, it's about common questions and objections to veganism. So the e-courses, though, are going to be pretty comprehensive. So, you know, like, the first one I'm working on is going to be how to go vegan, and I think it's going to have, like, 16 to 20 video lessons with, you know, PDF downloads, homework assignments, most likely a private Facebook group for all the students to interact.
Oh, wow.
And you know, so it's going to be like a very intensive type of thing. And then I'm going to be producing more courses. So it's going to be like an online academy eventually with multiple courses. So I'll be getting into other, you know, maybe doing kind of, intensive things like an activism course, you know, things like that. And then addressing other issues that people who have already gone vegan are going to be having. So the one I'm working on now is going to talk about, you know, how to handle social situations, how to eat out, those kind of things. But I might also, you know, do like mini courses that are more in depth on those as well. So it's just going to evolve hopefully into being kind of a more intensive resource for hands-on stuff.
It sounds like you could have a course, you could easily name this course, "So You're Vegan, Now What?"
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So you seem to love answering questions, and in my opinion, you are the perfect person to do it. Do you feel like you've answered just about everything there is to answer, or have you just scratched the surface?
I feel like I've just scratched the surface because I have so many topics on my list that I have yet to get to.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because I lay out, you know, my month's video schedules, and I'll even book it out sometimes 3 months in advance. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, I still haven't gotten to X, Y, or Z topic that I've been wanting to get to for 6 months now.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like that. And just because there's just so much to address. And a lot of them aren't necessarily questions that I'm getting, but they're things that I think are important that people need to know. You know, and so I try to keep a balance between the ones that people are actively asking for and then the other things that need to get out there more that people might not be aware of at the moment.
Well, is there a question that you, not to give any spoilers, I don't want you to, you know, debut any content here if it's going to be, you know, on your YouTube channel later, but are there any questions you could give us examples of and answer them here for us? Like questions you're like, oh, why has no one asked me this? I've wanted to answer this question so badly.
So I'm going to have one video coming up. I think I'm not really sure when exactly. I'm thinking probably late February. But there's going to be a video called, it's going to be called Something Akin to Do Animals Want to Be Eaten? So this is kind of like a strange subject. So this isn't probably the best example, but it's what just came into my head. So with that, I'm going to be going into, like, if you look at advertising for food products and restaurants and things, like, so often these animals are depicted as complicit within their own consumption. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have like a, there's even ones of, like, you know, a pig smiling with a fork and a knife, you know, cutting into his flesh, like, woo, you know, like, come eat me at the barbecue. And it's just, it's a really perverse portrayal of like, the fact that these animals are offering themselves to us, you know, like, it's, they're sacrificing themselves for us, and almost like they're happy to do so. And it's total bullshit. And so I kind of want to go into that concept that we have that, you know, animals are here for us to eat, and that they're even complicit within it.
Yeah. What's the strangest question you've ever got?
Oh man, I don't know. YouTube is a weird place, so.
You think?
Yeah, I always say the YouTube comment section is the bathroom wall of the internet. It totally is. God, I don't even know, like.
Only so, we can see who's writing on the bathroom wall. There's a timestamp. Yeah, there's a link back to who they are.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, like, I'll get things like, why is your face so ugly? You know, I mean, that's kind of a weird question. Like, no, I don't know.
Ask,
like,
you that, though. Why can't I
control the way my face is looking, so.
You're like, I'm sorry, you're just not used to seeing people without, like, 10 pounds of makeup on their face.
Yeah, I know, because I don't wear the makeup. I just can't handle that. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, I know I've gotten weird questions, and now they're just failing me. I do have people ask me, like, you know, can I eat yeast? And, like, am I killing the yeast? And it's still not even the weirdest question, but.
Oh, that is a good one, though, because when I was first vegan, I actually, that was sort of my butt lions, though. Like, I was like, wait a minute, though, but yeast is a living thing. You know, total non sequitur, well, sort of a sequitur. On the way home today to record this interview, I'm walking, and I pass these two ladies in the street, and I heard something about vegetarian or whatever, and so I immediately slowed down. Practically, like, forcing them to slow down so they can stay walking behind me. And there was this woman talking about a friend who came over, but her friend's vegan, and she's talking about vegetarian, and she's explaining, these two non-vegan ladies, I'm assuming they're non-vegan, one is trying to explain to the other her idea of what's different between vegan and vegetarian, and she's like, so she gave me this list of everything she can eat and can't eat, she's gluten-free, so I'm going to the store looking for nutritional yeast, and I don't know, is it a powder, is it a liquid, like no idea where to look for it. I just thought, oh yeah, I would probably never, that's not how I would introduce veganism to, not like, here's a list, go find me nutritional yeast.
Yeah, no, that's a bit much. Like, I don't know if I've ever eaten nutritional yeast, and I feel like that's, like, sacrilegious as a vegan to say, but you know, I just think,
well, that's all the time we have today. Thank you so much for joining us.
So you have to leave, you're no longer in the club. Yeah. But I mean, I think that's why it's so important to make it clear to people that veganism doesn't have to be any particular way of eating. All you have to do is not eat animals and the gross stuff that comes out of them. Well, that still leaves a lot of options.
Now I'm forgetting where I've even seen this, if this was your video or somewhere else, but someone was saying, oh yeah, as if the only two food groups are meat or salad.
Wait, was that? No, that was me, yeah.
That was your video, the woman who was talking about...
Yes. God,
people, I mean, you know there's a TV show, America's Funniest Home Videos? They should have a whole spinoff of, like, America's Funniest Stupid Non-Vegans. Like, that woman's like, well, I'm in favor of Meatless Mondays. I had a salad last night.
And she didn't even say Meatless Mondays. She said, I support the eating of salads. I had a salad last night. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
That's like saying, like, yeah, but my best friend is black. It's like, no one's asking you this.
You know, this little kid comes and has this incredibly intelligent argument about animal agriculture and the environmental impact of it and how, you know, it's so much more powerful to reduce meat consumption than to, like, you know, take less showers. And this woman comes back with, I support the eating of salads, but I'm going to stand with the business owners. What
is anyone arguing against the eating of salad?
Did the kid even say, like, I'm here to support salad eating? No. Like, oh, people are insane. It's so...
Only Salad Mondays. Isn't that...
Yeah.
Salad Saturdays. That's next.
The part of the video that I didn't have time to put in is a business owner even came in favor of Meatless Mondays and said, this gives us businesses an opportunity to try to drum up more business on Mondays because Mondays are slow. And if we feature it as like a way to eat healthy when you're out with your family, that's appealing to people. So there's even business owners supporting it. But then the woman who voted against it, because she, you know, even though she supports eating salads.
Yeah.
It's strange.
We gotta follow up with her and do like a where is she now? How's your salad?
Stacy something. I don't know.
I just imagine too that she just suffered through that salad. I mean, she's like, I'm going to this meeting tomorrow. I better wolf down a salad.
Well, I bet you she had a salad and she probably got chicken and cheese and stuff on it.
Oh, right.
Due to salads.
I didn't even think about that. She got her iceberg lettuce, she got her quartered tomatoes.
Yeah.
And then just covered it in ranch dressing and cheese and bacon.
Chicken or bacon or bacos or...
Oh, bacos are vegan.
I know, right?
I just discovered this. I mean, here's how I use them, by the way. I will make my field roast handmade burgers, which are so good. If I can't pop it in the microwave, I'm not going to cook it. These burgers are so good, I actually get out a sauteing pan and I saute them just to make one burger, and then I scrub a pan when I'm done because I'm like, it's worth it. But I'll take the bacos, put them in a little ramekin, because you know me, I do not want to live in a world without ramekins.
Yeah.
I'll put the bacos in the ramekin, pour on just a little bit of water, and I'll microwave it for like 30 seconds to like reconstitute it. So it's like, and then I'll put it on the burger. It's, oh my God, it's so good. I can't even talk. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to. I'm done talking about
it. You know why you like that? It's because your body's craving meat.
I know. Well, I feel like such a hypocrite though, because the fact that I'm eating a burger means that like I secretly want to eat animals.
Yeah.
And so like I may as well just actually eat animals because... Yeah. Oh my God, I'm going to stop. Someone out there will take that as a serious
argument. Oh yeah, they're going to take that
serious. I'm just feeding. I'm feeding. Don't feed the lions. Don't feed the lion.
Well, just to those people who are thinking on that range, like if you really are meant to eat these animals, you can fell them with your own hands and bite into their hide and chew their flesh and their blood and their lymph and their bones. And that would be really appealing to you. You would see roadkill and your mouth would water. So that is what you would really want if you were made to eat animals.
If I were to bleep what you just said, you would think you were talking about fruit. Right? Because I always say, look, if God wanted us to eat animals, they would grow on trees.
Right? Yeah. Oh.
All right, so speaking of this kid talking about, you know, this kid that was running her mouth at the Meatless Monday thing and making these, you know, ridiculous arguments about not eating animals, you have, like, so much of your videos are geared towards talking to kids. And one of the things that I appreciate so much is that you start all of them by saying, now listen, I am not here to talk down to you. I'm not going to talk to you like I'm the adult and you're the kid. I'm not going to talk to you like you're an idiot. And you know why I appreciate that you do that so much? It's because that's my thing. And I don't want you doing... That's my thing, right? I'm here... I talk down to people. I talk to everyone like they're two and like they're stupid. So
well,
I really
want to step on your toes.
So. I really appreciate that. This world is not big enough for both of us. So thank you for like respecting my turf.
Yeah, no, of course. I know that's your thing. So I just didn't want to, you know, crack your style. But the kids' videos are actually relatively recent. And it's something I've been wanting to do. And finally, I just had one of my viewers was like, I cannot get my daughter to stop drinking milk. You know, she doesn't. She stopped everything else, but she just doesn't make the connection. So that's why my very first kids video was about milk. And I really love making the kids videos, you know. And the funny thing is I have a lot of adults who watch them and really like them. And then they even show them to, you know, their parents or friends who are unwilling to watch anything with graphic footage or who don't have much of an attention span. They'll show them the kids videos and it explains it in a way that really anyone can grasp. Although, like I said, like one of my biggest pet peeves is when, as a child, no one took me seriously. And I'm very short and I was even shorter when I was a kid. And so they always just thought I was, you know, adorable or something and wouldn't take me, you know, seriously. And so, like, when I was a kid, I would go door to door in my neighborhood, you know, educating about, you know, the plight of the mountain gorillas. I was a member of the Diane Fossey Foundation, and I would bring my little poacher's kit to show them what happened. And nobody donated, and they just thought I was really cute. And I would, when they closed the door in my head, I'd always be like, if I was selling cookies, you would have fucking bought some. So I was just a really serious kid, and I always hate it. That's one of the things one of my pet peeves is when people treat children and young people or even people with disabilities like they're stupid or something. And it's like, you know, you gotta give kids credit. You know, they're very intelligent and they often see the truth far more readily than adults do.
We got a question from one of our viewers. I always say viewers, people are not looking at us or listening. Listeners. They were just basically asking about, like, you know, like, how do I talk to, like, my nieces and nephews? And, like, how do I talk to kids that aren't mine, but they're looking up to me. They're related to me. And we kind of answered that question, but, like, I just kind of want to point them now in your direction. Like, this is how you talk to children. Talk to them like they're curious and intelligent and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I have if you go on my channel, there's a kids playlist, or if you just even go to my website and type in kids in the search box, you can find the kids videos, and it might give some ideas about how to talk to them. But some of them, you know, in the videos, you know, I some of the comparisons and phrases I use are more for the younger kids, but are still, you know, understandable by older, and so you can always tailor it. But, you know, kids are smart, and kids are also, you know, we're all born vegan.
I always say that too.
Yeah, we totally are. Because if you Gary Yourofsky says this, if you put in a baby's crib, if you put an apple and a lamb, the baby might chew on the apple. They're going to play with the lamb. Like, you don't ever have the problem of, like, oh yeah, you know, our toddler's teething now, so he was trying to eat the dog. You know, it's not something that we do. We have to teach kids to eat animals. We have to disguise it. We give them chicken nuggets. We give them, you know, these things that you know, doesn't even look like an animal anymore. And if you actually tell children what they're eating, most of the time, probably like almost all of the time, they're going to stop because they're not going to want to do it because kids don't want to hurt animals. Kids love animals, you know, so it's inherently with us. And so the unlearning is really hard once you've been indoctrinated, and kids are closer to having learned it. So it's a little bit easier sometimes to reverse that. Once you become an adult, it's a lot more to unlearn. And then you also have to come to grips with the years and years and years of complicity that you have with the abuse.
So there's a lot of questions that you answer on your channel, and, you know, pretty much a lot of these are things that you could actually I didn't ask you before we started if you want to do this. So if you're like, nah, not my thing, then feel free to pass. But I was kind of hoping we could do a bite-sized lightning round with you, and I could just fire off some topics and you could just give me like your quickest answer, your quickest like talking points, or like answer these topics or speak to these topics in like 90 seconds or less. Does that sound like fun?
It sounds a little horrifying, but I'll try it.
Okay, well, we'll see how this goes. So, deer hunting, go.
Oh, goodness. Okay, well, it's like lightning round for real. So with the deer hunting, I mean, what people always argue, there's several points that people will argue with the deer hunting, and one of the main ones, I think, is population control. that, okay, we have to do this because the deer are gonna overpopulate. They're gonna, you know, run the world or whatever. Which is also what people say if the whole world went vegan, that all the farm animals would overtake us. But what happens though is that, like, the proposed solution to hunting is actually the source of the problem. So there's two ways that deer hunting actually increases the populations. The first is the state wildlife management agencies. They clear cut forested areas to create habitat that's ideal for deer. So they're actually increasing these areas and making, like, more habitat for the deer to be in. And then they, so it not only does this, like, boost the deer populations, but it's environmentally damaging that they're wrecking all of this area. But they're trying to cater it to the hunters. And then the other thing, and this one though is really, I don't know if I can do this fast because it's difficult to, so anyways, so conventional deer hunting, I'll try to make it quick, is all about killing mature male deers or bucks with the large antlers, and they leave the females. So a single buck will breed with multiple females, and when hunting reduces the number of males, it does not reduce the number of the offspring. So the sex bias hunting skews the natural 1-to-1 ratio of male to female deer to as high as 1-to-8, meaning 1 male for every 8 females. So if we say, I think I say in the video, if there's an area that has 500 deer and each doe produces an average of 1.4 fawns, as 67% of mature does do have twins, in a natural 1-to-1 ratio, this would make 350 new fawns. If we take the same 500 deer in the hunting-induced 1-to-8 ratio, you now have 622 new fawns, which is almost 300 more. So in that, like, when you first hear that, it doesn't make any sense. So I would say, like, go to the video, like, in the blog post even, and try to reason it out. Because when I first read it, I couldn't understand what they were talking about when I was finding this study. But anyway, so killing the males is actually going to increase the population. And then you have the wildlife agencies clear-cutting areas and creating more land for the deer, which is then, of course, making it easier for them to increase their populations. So it ends up becoming its own problem. And then we say, oh, well, now we have to kill the deer because there's so many of them. And it's like, well, you know, it's like we created this problem, which is the same thing as when we introduce foreign species. You know, it's like it's a human-created problem, and then we want to punish the animals for something we did.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it's just, again, it's kind of like the same thing with, like, when I tell, well, first off, round of applause. Oh. Brilliantly answered. Like, that's just
hard because that was an old video.
I started thinking about that. I'm like, wait, all the research she did going into this, she doesn't know what question I'm about to ask her, and she doesn't have her notes in front of her. Just go, boom.
Yeah, and I've done like over 200 videos now, so it doesn't always come back to
I'll
me.
I'll tell you, I've only done 6 videos of my vegan drag queen cooking show, and when I make tofu scramble, I still need to pull up my video and like follow along with it. Actually, now I finally trust myself enough to just eyeball it. I'm like, Ben, you know what goes in here. Just put in some tofu, throw in some veggies, throw in some turmeric. I don't know how much. Throw in turmeric till it looks like the color that you want to eat. And then just, you know, add 1 part of tofu scramble to 8 parts of nutritional yeast. And you got a good meal on your hands.
Excellent.
There's no such thing as too much nutritional yeast. Just no such thing. All right. So, but it's kind of like with the U.S. When I tell people this, like the USDA, like, I told a cab driver this the other day. I think I was on my way to a protest, and I think I turned a cab driver vegan, or at least I started the process in motion. And you know what started it? I was eating, don't judge me, a peanut butter and mayo sandwich. It was the Just Mayo brand, which is the best, in my opinion. And he's like, are you eating something with peanut butter on it? And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. It's like a, you know, peanut butter is a sort of a noxious smell if you're not accustomed to it. And I was like, well, it's peanut butter and vegan mayonnaise. He's like, vegan mayonnaise? Vegan mayonnaise? Which could have been our entire conversation, just him saying that over and over.
Yeah.
And I mentioned, you know, and I'm like, well, I could tell him why it's vegan, or I can tell him why I'm vegan. And I kind of went into it, and I told, and by the end of the conversation, like, oh my God, I'm going to watch these documentaries. I'm going to look into this. Thank you. But what the main thing that like blew his mind was when I explained that the USDA, the same organization that is in charge of making sure our food is safe, is the same organization in charge of making sure we keep buying it. And when I explained to him, like, you've never, what happens when they recall a product, you know, when a product's defective, they recall it. What happens when chicken's defective? He's like, oh my God, you're right. Oh my God, what?
Yeah. But yeah, it's really messed up. Like, it's a self-governing body, and so of course they're going to keep saying, like, oh, you should probably keep eating some more animal products. And the egg industry, oh my gosh, I have a whole video that I highly recommend, my video of, it's called the Great Egg Conspiracy, and I go into the fact that Hampton Creek, even the people who make Just Mayo, even had death threats against, like, these people were, you know, playfully death threats, but still, the big mayo companies, like, got together to try to ruin the Just Mayo company, and then I also go into the long, you know, decades history of the egg industry, like, just outright lying about the health of eggs, lying about the detrimental effects of eggs. I talk about studies where eating eggs is as damaging or more damaging than smoking cigarettes. Like, it's crazy. And you still have people saying eggs are healthy, you know, and the dietary guidelines, the new ones that just came through, they removed the dietary cholesterol limit. So now everyone's like, well, then eggs are healthy. And it's crap. It's absolute crap. And it's just astounding how lies are proliferated for so long and just still believed. Well, I guess it's easy to believe something that you want to believe because you don't want to change. And that just makes it, like, all you need is, like, the smallest amount of even, like, completely inaccurate proof, and you're like, ha-ha, now I can keep doing what I'm doing. That's all I needed. Oh, case God. Closed. Lions.
I love lions. It all comes back to lions.
Just throw the lions.
Lions. Oh, my.
Yeah. Lions eat eggs.
Are you ready for another couple of
lightning round questions? Let's try it.
Okay, do you want an easy one or a really hard one?
Oh, let's try an easy one.
Okay. All right. I hear that, but I'm gonna give you a super hard one. Okay.
Okay.
And you won't be ready for it.
All right.
Ubi, how did he get his name? How did she get her name?
Oh. Okay. So she got her name because
Ubi is her dog, by the way.
Ubi. Yeah. Ubi was my bulldog, and she got her name because there was a spoof on Star Wars a while back called Thumb Wars, and so the whole thing was done with thumbs. It was really ridiculous, but. their Obi-Wan Kenobi was named Ubi-Doo Benubi, and I just thought that was, my sister and I thought that was hilarious. So years later, I was like, that would be the perfect name for a bulldog. So her full name was Ubi-Doo Benubi, but she went by Ubi, so, because that's easier. Or Uber 10s, or the Ubers, and things like that, so.
Oh, that's so cute. And I'm sorry, I'm picking up on your saying Ubi was called.
Yeah, she passed away a little over a month ago. I made a video tribute on my channel for her, which was really heartbreaking. But so I made a video tribute that you can watch called Life Without You. And but in that, I talk about the lessons that she left. And there's so many dogs that have gone vegan after hearing about Ubi's testimony. So that's kind of like her lasting legacy, which is pretty cool. And also what she kind of like teaches us about the perils of breeding and why we really need to, you know, stop breeding these animals.
Wow. Oh, so, first off, I'm so sorry for your loss. And secondly, spoiler alert, I'm not that far along in your videos yet. I didn't get to that one. So
that's okay.
Now I know how it ends.
Yeah.
So it's no longer going to sound like there's a motorcycle driving past your window every 30 seconds.
No. Most of my newer videos don't. Like, for a while now, maybe even a year now, I've had to kick her out of the room because she's so loud when she would breathe. People would always be like, what is happening in the background of your videos? But when I first started, I was in a one-room apartment. Like, that's all, like, literally a room. I couldn't, there's nowhere I could put her.
Yeah.
So eventually, though, I was able to, I had to kick her out so I could film. If you watch, I mean, most of my quote-unquote modern videos, I guess, for the last year, like, I finally got, like, a formal screen behind me, and, like, almost like I know what I'm doing, and the sound is better. But
because I'm watching them all out of order, so, like, some of them, you know, you're, they're from all over the place. Yeah. It was funny because like some of them I started watching, I'm like, what is that? Oh, it sounds like someone's driving by outside. Oh, someone's driving back the other way. Oh, someone's driving by again. I don't know if anyone listening is a fan of Absolutely Fabulous, but I pictured the episode where Patsy is riding back and forth on someone's motorcycle, and each time she's facing a different direction on the bike. And I was picturing that, and I'm like, oh, that's Ubi. Ubi's snoring.
Like, yeah, because like when I first started, if you watch my early videos, the editing is... It is something special. I mean, I had no video experience, and I still don't really know what I'm doing. I still use iMovie, which is, like, super ridiculous, and I do these crazy, like, roundabout ways to get the animations that I do into it because I'm terrified of technology. But my really early ones are pretty fantastic editing-wise. I mean, the content is still solid, but what I would do is most of the time you wouldn't see me. It was almost all just, like, visuals, and... So because of that, I could like, you know, even break up my sentences. And so what I would try, especially if I was doing a serious video, is I would try to like say part of the sentence, wait for her to snore, say the rest of the sentence, wait for her to breathe out, say that, you know, and it was like this really strange way of trying to record. Cause if I was doing something really serious and you hear it's like, it just kind of like killed it. So,
that is funny. It's hard to be taken seriously when someone's snoring.
I know, when there's like a snoring beast, but, that's hilarious. Yeah.
Well, a couple more lightning round questions.
Okay.
I'm looking at my list here. I'm going to pick one. So B12, go.
B12. Okay, so B12, and here's the thing. I have an old B12 video and a new B12 video. The new B12 video is with Dr. Michael Greger, and I have a whole series with him of nutrition where we go through B12, we go through vitamin D, protein, omega-3s, we go through like the 9 main nutrients that people freak out about when they go vegan. My old video about B12 talks a little bit about more where it actually comes from. And in that, I've gotten a lot of criticism actually for that video, because in there I talk about how like B12 is found in the soil. It's made from bacteria. It's a byproduct of bacteria doing their thing. And so originally we would get our B12 from eating stuff from the soil, eating our fruits and vegetables, you know, and like they would, you know, not terribly well washed, and it was like nice organic soil and everything. And so we didn't have to like really worry about it too much. Also, your body produces an amount of B12, but that's not always like something that we can use. Like, you know, your body produces it, but it's not always absorbable and stuff, so it's not really the best thing to rely on. But so that's originally how we got our B12. So the fact that like most vegans supplement with B12, and it's a good idea to do because it doesn't hurt you to do it, but if you don't do it and then you find out you're deficient down the line, it can be very serious. But vegans aren't the only ones B12 deficient. There's a lot of meat eaters who are B12 deficient, and the reason for this is that our soil is crap now. Like, we've screwed the soil, we've sterilized it almost, you know, completely. So there's not, like, nice, friendly, happy bacteria in there making B12 anymore. So it's you know, and even the nutrition of our fruits and vegetables is lower, even the organic ones. Organic ones have, you know, usually higher than conventional, but still it's just not the same. Anyways, so, I mean, short of growing your own organic produce in very high-quality soil, most likely you want to be doing a supplement. But the argument that, like, you know, we need to eat meat, or like we're made to eat meat because like the B12 proves that is not true, because right now, because the soil is what it is, even like the meat that people eat and get their B12 is supplemented. Like there's, if you can find websites that sell B12 shots, like farmers give B12 to their cows, their pigs, their chickens, they're you know, shooting them up or putting it in their food. They have to supplement their meat with B12 to be able to say it has it, because what they feed the animals is so deficient itself, and our soil is so deficient that even they're not getting what they're supposed to be getting. So it's not a vegan problem. It's a human problem. It's a human-caused problem. But it's really easy. All you have to do, like Dr. Greger recommends cyanocobalamin, which is the cheapest, and it's the one, it's the most widely available. Some people freak out because there's, you know, it's derivative of cyanide. You can do methylcobalamin if you want, something like that. But, you know, the cyanocobalamin is the one that's had the most studies. So, and typically, like, they would say, like, you know, 2,500 milligrams once a week with the cyanocobalamin. But, and you can just do, like, under the tongue. It's, you know, the sublinguals are pretty cheap. So you can do like that once a week, or at least 250 micrograms daily of the supplement. But it's not really something you have to worry about, like, ODing on too much. But it can be super, super cheap. And, like, in the end, it's not something caused by a lack of meat or anything. You know, it's what we've done to our soil for the most part.
I think I was most shocked to learn, and I've definitely looked into B12. I've learned plenty about it, and I really learned something new from your older B12 video, that meat is actually supplemented with B12. Like, I knew that they supplement cow's milk with calcium, but the fact that they're supplementing... So here's the thing. Earlier, you know, when you were talking about, like, if you were going to eat an animal, you could pick them up and bite into them, and I was like, yeah, that sounds like you're talking about fruit. If I were going to bleep this conversation and say, okay, so meat is something that you take, and then you inject it with B12, and you inject it with other vitamins, and then you cook it and season and flavor it with herbs and spices. If you bleeped the word meat, I would honestly think you were talking about tofu.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like the same thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's another thing that's interesting to me, is that people freak out about fortified vegan products or fake meats or fake cheeses. And I can't count how many people have said to me, like, well, I just don't want to eat that, you know, what's really in the fake meats and what's really in that fake cheese, you know, to make it like that. And it's like, do you know what's in your meat and your cheese? Do you know that, like, the USDA found, I think it was like 98% of meat has fecal contamination, you know, like chicken. Oh my gosh. I have one of my oldest videos is called, what's really in your food. I think it's called right now, like, what's really in your food and why should you go vegan. And in Eating Animals, Jonathan Safran Foer, who amazingly at the end did not conclude to be vegan, which is beyond me for comprehension, because he goes in and he finds that, like, chickens, at least in America, most European countries don't do this anymore. They have this, after your chicken is, like, you know, slaughtered and defeathered and all of these horrific things and put in an electric bath, many times conscious, you know, that you have what looks like what we're familiar with of, like, the chicken carcass that you get in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. So after that, what they get paid by weight. So they'll actually fill it, like, with what they put in this cooling tank, quote unquote, which is really one of the experts Safran first spoke to said that it's basically fecal soup is what he called it, because of all the filth and bacteria in this, because you have these birds that have fecal contamination and all of this, you know, blood, lymph crap, all of this stuff. And then they're thrown into this bath and they're all bobbing around in this big fecal soup, like, tank. And that's the water that's absorbed into them. So, like, the extra weight that you're paying for is water. That's what it is. Like, your bird is full of water. You also have antibiotics that are being put into that. You have hormones. Like, if you're drinking cow's milk, like, you're getting all kinds of hormones. You're also getting feces. That's in everything. You get in milk, they're actually allowed a certain amount of pus cells. It's called the somatic cell count. It's an industry
standard. Ooh, it sounds fancy. Ooh, it has somatic cells.
A somatic cell count. It's lovely. So, I mean, these are the things that are... And then people are worried about what's in the vegan cheese. Like, what's in the vegan meat? And it's like, you're literally eating poop. Cashew cheese. Where are your priorities right now? Oh, it's very strange.
Oh, God. They're just so weird, these people that eat animals. All right, so one or two more lightning round questions for you. One, this comes to us from one of our listeners, Wendy Edwards. And I didn't write down exactly how she asked it, so I'll just pretend that this is a question unto itself. Vegan cats?
Question mark. Vegan cats?
Yes.
Yeah. So I have I plan on doing a more specific video on this because there's two groups that get the angriest at me. One is about cats, and the other is the horse people. Horse people get very angry. They hate.
Are they like half human, half horses?
No, they're just people who ride horses and don't like that. They say you shouldn't ride horses.
Okay.
So there's an entire like Instagram group that started a new hashtag called Bite Size about me. So because I dare to say not to ride the horses. horse people hate me. But then the cat people, the vegan cat, and these aren't even people with cats sometimes. They just get angry that I talk about vegan cats.
I gotta go back. I'm jealous that you have a hate group dedicated to you, and I know.
I haven't engaged with them, but I'm aware of them because they come to my posts and say angry things. For the cats, I have one of my older videos with the stellar editing is Can Pets Really Be Vegan? And also, what's really in pet food, which is the more horrifying part of the video. Once again, poop is included. So, including actually, it used to be, most most pet food companies finally stopped this after they got so many complaints when it was exposed, but they used to put, you know, euthanized pets in the pet food as well.
I was going to say, what's in your pet food?
Yeah.
Your old pets.
Your old pets. And also with flea caught, like they found even ground up flea caughters, the euthanasia drug, traces of that. Expired meats go in there, and they don't have to take them out of the styrofoam packaging or the plastic. It just all gets ground up, goes in there. Industrial solvents, like oil, soap, rubber, antibiotics, all of this crap is in there. It's really disgusting. And then, it's like, ooh, fancy fees. It's like, no. And these are rejected meat. Like, this is actually, this is one of my favorite parts of that video. This is the meat that, like, the hot dog industry rejects. Like, if you know that the hot dog industry takes, like, the weirdest stuff and stuffs it in intestines for you. If they're rejecting the meat, you know that it's a little bit...
Well, you've convinced me. From now on, I am swearing off of dog food.
Okay, good.
From this day forward.
Don't do it. So cats, vegan cats, can they be vegan? Yes, absolutely. There's a book called Obligate Carnivore that by Jed Gillen that I talk about in that video. He has, I can't remember, it was like two or three vegan cats and one who's not. So the one thing you have to be careful with is if your cat has a pre-existing urinary condition or kidney disorder, what can happen is they can get, they can have crystals accumulate. So he had one cat who had, and he's like, you know, we really should have, it just wasn't caught soon enough. And so it ended up being an issue for this cat. But you know, who knows what causes the disease, could also be the horrific food that was fed to them before. But you want to be kind of cautious and watch your cats and buy them good food. So on my website, I have, I have recommendations on that video and on the website. The one that I find that has the best feedback is Amy's cat food. It's AMI. And the funny thing, though, is like the thing that mainly makes cats obligate carnivores is taurine.
Yeah.
And taurine has been synthetically created since like the early 1900s, like way before Red Bull. Even though Red Bull's named that way, you know, as if it was taken from the bull because it used to have to be derived that way from animals. But it's been synthetically created for a long time. So the synthetic taurine in vegan cat food is the same synthetic taurine as in non-vegan cat food. So, I mean, that element, it's the same. And, you know, they have to put that synthetic stuff in the actual cat food because the rejected meat parts and, you know, diseased animals and expired meat products and all of that, when they boil that and then they, like, dry it down into this, like, brown, dusty crap, like, it's so deficient of any kind of nutrition that they still have to supplement the crap out of the food. So even the stuff that you think is going in there and is giving them what they need, it all ends up still being the synthetic, like, vitamin stuff that's put on it afterwards. So you might as well feed them vegan food that has synthetic vitamin stuff put on it. I mean, it's just kind of crazy. And, you know, cats can be picky when people are transitioning. Even if you're transitioning your cat from one meat-based food to another, cats are, they're brats. That's what they do. They just don't want to, you know, they don't like change. Yep. So there's even vegan tunas and stuff that you can try. But you never know. Like, I have one viewer who, she switched her cat to vegan food, and he loved it. And then they ran out, and they had ordered a new bag, and it hadn't come in yet. So they put his old meat food in his bowl, and he wouldn't eat until the vegan cat food came. So you never know, like, what your cat's going to do.
Look at that. A vegan cat who's so vegan, it's on a hunger strike. I love
it. Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, he was refused to eat the other food. So you never know. But yeah, I mean, just be careful. Like, make sure, like, monitor your cat, their urinary issues. Like, if there's any problems with that, like, that's the one thing you want to watch out for, is the accumulation of urine crystals. But if they don't have any pre-existing conditions or any kind of, like, strange, like, urethra, I think this cat that Jed had, I might be mistaken, it's been a long time since I read the book, might have had, like, a narrow urethra issue. So that can be a problem as well. But I mean, even if you're not into it for the ethics, like, just feeding them with the stuff that goes into normal pet food is just, like, horrifying. So.
That is a good point.
It's a lightning round answer, but.
Well, that's, people always, like, obsess about, like, what you're like, oh, yeah, but you're lacking this or you're lacking this in a vegan diet. But it's like, yeah, but you aren't focusing on what you are taking in when
exactly.
You're eating all that crap.
Yeah, I have, oh my gosh, I have a video. Because this is what I do every single day, every thought of mine almost comes back to a video, so I apologize for that.
I was just going to say that. I'm like, every single sentence of yours is like, well, I have a video.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like a weird web network in my brain of everything I've produced and everything I want to produce, because this is what I live, eat, and breathe every day. But I have a video with Dr. Greger as well called, like, something like, What Are the Real Dietary Killers? And so in that, he talks about overnutrition. And he's like, it's exactly what you said. He's like, we need to stop worrying about what you're not getting and realize what you are getting that's killing you, because that's what it is. It's the overnutrition. Like, we're so worried about nutritional deficits. Most people in the Western world or the developed world or whatever you want to call it aren't deficient in nutrition in that sense. Like, they have over nutrition issues.
Oh my god, that's how you put it.
And so and I mean, of course, you can still be nutrient deficient and over, like, you can be obese and nutrient deficient if all you're eating is Twinkies and stuff. But like, he's like, it's what's killing us now isn't lacking nutrients, it's eating too much of other nutrients. Like, you know, have too much protein and too much fat. Like, that's taking most people out these days. You know, like, the number one killer is heart disease, you know, and that's caused by eating animal products. You know, if you binge out on plant foods, you're probably still not going to be, like, in the risk for a heart attack, you know? So it's just interesting that every, and a lot of times the people who are concerned about your protein or your B12 or your, you know, what about this, they're, you know, overweight and unhealthy themselves. And all of a sudden they become nutrition experts when they find out someone's vegan.
You know, I bet you everyone listening right now, like, cannot wait after this episode to, like, run and, like, have debates with their family. Like, oh, yeah? Well, blah, 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 blah. I feel so informed, even about things I know well about. Like, I just feel so informed and, like, you know, just armed with information. One last question, and then I'm actually off to Brooklyn to get my hair cut by a fabulous vegan. Yes. But, and this is, I guess, speaking of nutrition, but this is a very self-serving question, because, girl, I just want to know your secrets. First of all, like, I just saw your video with your transformation. Like, I am just now starting to train for the Ragnar Relay Race. It's in May. It's going to be in Cape Cod. So I'm running with Strong Hearts Vegan Power. It's this awesome vegan running team and blah, blah, blah. But, like, you were showing this, you did the like, more ridiculous than the cinnamon challenge, more ridiculous than the name of challenge. Girl, I saw you eat, like, a box of, was it romaine lettuce? What?
Oh, that was, like, way before the transformation video.
Well, as part of it, though, after eating that, you then showed, like, oh, and right here, if you look at the computer analysis of all the nutrition, what was that? Here's my question. What was that app or program or whatever it was that you used to, like, track the nutrient value of everything you ate?
So that's actually, if you watch my, the nutrition series with Dr. Greger, this app actually sponsored that series, and they sponsored a couple of the vegan athlete series, and it's called Chronometer. I don't know if you say, I always say Chronometer, some people say Chronometer, but it's like Chronometer.com. Mm-hmm. So they sponsored a bunch of the videos that I did on nutrition because I contacted them and I was like, hey, I really love your website. Like, would you like to be a sponsor of this stuff? And if you even just go to bitesizedvegan.com/chronometer, it'll bring you to their website as well. So that's what I use to track my food every day. And in that video, like, kind of, it's so strange. It's like one of my highest viewed videos ever. And it's one that I really didn't care about, because I care about the education, but everyone kept saying, like, do a what I eat in a day video. Please do a what I eat in a day. So I did one, and it was when I was eating raw vegan. I was eating raw vegan for, like, 8 months. I don't really label myself. I don't really care, you know. Like, I just, sometimes I'm like, oh, now I'm going to cook something. I don't worry about the dogma. I just tell people, eat however you want to eat. Just don't eat animals and the stuff that comes out of them. You know, like, they don't really care as long as you're not eating them. Like, binge out on some Oreos and sweet chili Doritos. Do it. Whatever.
Yeah, that's such a good way to put it. I don't think the animals are going to be like, objection.
Yeah, no, they don't
care.
Are
those Doritos? Those have MSG.
You can be the unhealthiest vegan you want to be. You know, you can eat, like, follow Unhealthy Vegan on Instagram. The dude makes masterpieces. Yeah. Vegan, like, it's crazy. I have a video with him too, of course. I have videos, whatever. But so yeah, like, I mean, but in that video, yeah, I ate 10 pounds of lettuce in one sitting, because I, like, that's my favorite meal. Is, well, actually, I had right before I talked to you, it was not 10 pounds, but my favorite meal is, like, date and lettuce burritos, which sounds super unappealing to most people, but a lot of people have tried them after watching my videos, and they're like, they're actually strangely good. Like, you just put dates and lettuce and you wrap them and you just eat it, and it's delicious. But I realize it's not everybody's cup of tea. So that's also why I hesitate to, like, show what I eat, because I think most non-vegans would be like, that's not something I want to do. And you don't have to. Like, you can eat exactly what you're eating now, just substitute it with vegan substitutes, and you're good, you know? There's people I've even heard from, like, non-vegans who've tried different, like, you know, vegan cheeses or nutritional yeast combinations, and they're like, this is better than, like, the nachos I usually eat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can still have the same flavors and probably even better flavors, actually.
Well, and I just found Chronometer, by the way, Chronometer, M-E-T-E-R, yep. And they have an app, and apparently I've already had it mm-hmm. from my past, so I just had to re-download it.
I like it because it's, like, very colorful and user-friendly, and that's what I like about it.
I can't tell you how many food journals I've started. Ask me how many I've stuck with more than a day. Actually, please don't ask me that. But I'm going to check that out. And just in closing, tell us, you know, as people listening, like, where we can find you and where we can check out your work.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny. Like, when you're saying they have an app, you know, I always say they have an app for that. It's like, I have a video for that.
Yes.
You can find me at bitesizevegan.com. And actually, so many people say sized that I actually bought that domain, so it just reroutes to bitesizevegan in case you put the D in.
Good thing.
And then my website, my YouTube channel, which is the main thing, but you can find that on, of course, bitesizevegan.com as well, is youtube.com/bitesizevegan. And then I'm on almost every, probably not, there's a lot of social medias I don't even know, but a lot of social medias as bitesizevegan, but mainly the YouTube and the website. The website has, you know, search functionalities. You can search by category tag. There's an open search box. I even created something recently called the Vegan Library of Awesome. And so it has, like, kind of all of my videos ordered in the best way I could, because I'm trying to make everything as navigable and accessible for anyone who wants the information as possible for them to find it. And there's also a search feature on YouTube channels. When you go to them, you can search someone's channel specifically. So any questions you have, you can go in there and see if I've done it yet. And if not, I'm most likely going to as soon as I can.
That is awesome. I mean, by the time that this interview goes up, I'm sure there's going to be, like, all new, like, oh my god, now you gotta catch up on all these new videos. There's just so much. I mean, like, I just want to coin the, I'm gonna buy the domain bite-sized vegan k-hole, because, like, it's like, it's just I mean, talk about, you know, people are always like, I finished watching such and such series, what should I binge watch now? And it's like, honey, you need to binge watch bite-sized vegan. It's just like, it's just a bottomless pit of, like, indulgence and knowledge, and just I'm so excited to have found you, and I'm so excited for our listeners to find you after this.
Well, thank you.
And yeah, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us, and just please, can you do me a favor, by the way? I forgot to ask you this at the beginning, but I was just going to ask you a personal favor. Could you just keep being awesome and rocking it out?
Oh, I will do my best.
Awesome.
I feel like I'm the most awkward person in the world, but I try to use it to my advantage sometimes, and just educate as best I can.
Well, in case you had any, like, plans of, like, backing off and, like, you know what, I'm just going to stop, you know, rocking it out. Please don't.
Yeah, no, I don't think I ever could. I've tried before to, like, force a break, and it doesn't work. I can't humanly do it for some reason, so.
Well, at least this. Do me this favor. Please don't go to your grave with any videos, like, unfinished.
I'll try my best, man. I'm gonna be, like, you know, 90 something, like, making YouTube videos, like, when no one wants to look at my face anymore.
When people are insisting that YouTube is a dead technology, they're like, YouTube is analog.
Yeah, no, I'll still be out there, you know, rocking it out. I don't know. It's gonna be a long journey, I can feel, but. I also feel that, like, once you get old, I'm going to totally use old age to my advantage. Like, once you become an old lady, you can get away with more. So I just come up with all kinds of crazy stuff and just be like, I'm old.
I can't wait to see that. That's going to be awesome.
There's one, just I'll throw this out one last thing. Like, there's one comedian, like, I can't even remember who it was that I was watching, and he's talking about when I'm an old man and I'm speeding, you know, I'm going to speed everywhere. And if they pull me over, they'll just be like, sir, what's the rush? And I'll just be like, I'm dying. It's totally great. Like, you just get away with all kinds of stuff when you're old.
I love that.
You know, I'll be a crazy old vegan lady who's, like, you know, on the street corner yelling at people.
I realized as a drag queen that, like, you know, when I'm an old man, I also will get to be an old lady. Like, I get to be both.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm super jealous. That's
awesome. Emily, thank you again. I am so excited to have this, to put this out there for everyone, and just keep doing you.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be on the show, and thank you for what you're doing.
Awesome. Thanks again.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're welcome, you guys. Right? How awesome was that? We just had Bite Size Vegan on Big Five Vegan Radio. You're welcome. You are welcome. So, what else we got? There's a lot of things that Emily talked about in the episode, so look for the show notes. We're going to have tons of links in the show notes, links to some of the videos she mentioned and stuff like that. What else? Well, you can always reach us at big5veganradio.com. You can call us at 315-VEGAN-01. That's 315-834-2601. You can email us at bigfatveganradio@gmail.com. Tweet us at bigfatvegans. And find us on YouTube or Facebook or Instagram, Big Fat Vegan Radio. And other than that, you can always become a member. We highly encourage that. Go to bigfatveganradio.com and click on Support Us for a list of ways that you can help us do what we do, even some that cost nothing. Basically, you can become a monthly member and get access to our secret shows and other bonus content. And, don't forget, you can always give a gift membership to friends as well. If you have, like, a friend, give a gift membership to, like, a carnivore. Wouldn't that just be great? Like, hey, I know I was supposed to get you something. I'm your secret Santa. So look what I got you. You're a member of Big Fat Vegan Radio. Because you know they're going to use it out of spite, right? That's what we want. We want people listening to us out of spite. So never underestimate the power of spite, you guys. And I mean that wholeheartedly. So, other than that, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram as individuals. I am at Honey LeBronx. Laura is at Lara Yaz. You can check out Laura's YouTube channel, youtube.com/Lara Yaz. And you can check out my Vegan Drag Queen cooking show at vegandragqueen.com. Or just look up Honey LeBronx on YouTube and just subscribe. That's the best way to just find me, because not everything's on my cooking show. I have a lot of other videos as well, some more recent than others. Some are going up soon, so stay tuned. And also buy some of my medieval oil. Go to medievaloil.com. I'm just going to say this, and I don't care how gross this sounds. So I know that some of you out there are listening. Okay, so we don't all floss every day, right? We can be honest, right? We're all family here. Not everyone here flosses every single day, right? Okay. So, put your hand up and then take your hand down once I've called you out. So, put your hand down if you floss every day. Okay, well, good for you. Good for you, Miss Little Miss. I floss every day. Now, put your hand down if you floss, like, you know, not every day, but, like, definitely 2-3 times a week, you know, no problem. All right, now put your hand down if you know that you floss at least weekly. Right. So let's just talk about if your hand is still up. And if you don't floss, like, daily. Like, Look, I don't floss every single day. But for those of us who don't floss every single day, here's what we're going to do. Next time, I floss in the shower. That's just where I do that. Next time you're flossing, maybe in the shower or whatever, here's what I want you to do. Once you're done flossing, smell your dental floss. I know, we're going there. This is gross. You can handle it. Floss and then smell your dental floss. And then wonder, like, oh my God, that stuff lives in my mouth all the time. And I'm used to the smell, so I don't notice it. You are welcome. You are so welcome. You are so very welcome. So speaking of medieval oil, here's what you do. You floss. It's going to hurt. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be painful. Why do you think I floss in the shower, right? I know I've, like, lost, like, 80% of you. But those 20% of you still listening, you're welcome. You needed to hear this. And you needed to hear it from me, apparently. So, so you floss. And I'm like, you're bleeding. And then you take a couple of drops of medieval oil. This is after you've brushed your teeth, by the way. Or you may, like, brush your teeth again, kind of brush into that gum line after you flossed. And then once you're done, you're going to rinse your mouth out. And you are going to take a couple of drops. It doesn't take much. You know, one drop will do it. But, you know, I always say if it's worth doing, it's worth overdoing. Use 5 drops, whatever, of medieval oil on your tongue. Swish that around and, like, really swish that all up in your gums. Just, like, mash that stuff up in your gums. And that is going to, like, start healing. what's wrong with your gums. It's going to start healing all the disease and all the infection and all the bacteria that gets up in there. And like, it will turn around the freshness of your mouth. It will turn around your breath situation if you have a breath situation going on. And if you have a breath situation going on, you might not know it. That is what I do when I'm like, oop, it's been too long since I flossed. I need to like reset my mouth. That is how I do it. So go to medievaloil.com. That's medievaloil.com and get yourself a bottle of medieval oil and get one as a gift for a friend who needs it. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anything else other than that. That's all I'm saying. So as always, a special thank you and shout out to Michael Herron for our theme song. Check him out at michaelherron.com. And thank you to Kelly Huffine for our artwork and logo. Check her work out at kelly42fox.deviantart.com. And thanks as always to our interns, Madison Marie and Saria Wu. And that's it for this episode of Big Fat Vegan Radio. Please subscribe to us through iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. It's extra helpful if you can give us an awesome rating and a glowing review. And if you're listening to this on YouTube, then it's the future if you're listening to it on YouTube, because we're behind in that. But please be sure to give us a thumbs up, comment, share, subscribe, and be sure to let us know what you thought of this episode on our Facebook page. Send us a tweet, leave us a voicemail, or leave a comment at bigfatveganradio.com or in the comments below if it's on YouTube. We'd love to hear from you guys. So thank you. And I thought I would do a little special something to close out this episode. Just because, you know, today is February 1st and there's just a lot of exciting things happening in the world right now. I would ask you guys all to go vegan! If you haven't already. Sick of hearing about your fundraiser, that is when I will turn to you and I will say, good job.